Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null. I don't love you anymore.
It's just a simple... Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, about 15 studies from around the world from the most respected institutions published in peer-reviewed journals, all on PubMed, this are natural and alternative safe ways of extending the quality of life and overcoming disease. Also, today is commentary day. I have my own commentary. Also, I read a commentary on Paul Craig Roberts, who I have a lot of respect for Professor Roberts' views, and he had an article on there from Søren Korsgaard and about the criminal system and how we keep adding to it. I'll cite that one. I'm going to be sharing some insights today from a professor emeritus about G5, quote, the stupidest idea in the history of the world. He's Washington University professor. Also, the musician and original founder of Pink Floyd, Roger Waters, challenges Richard Branson and about the Venezuela regime change. So all that is going on now. So we'll deal with that. And Dr. Suzanne Humphreys on vaccines. We're going to have a segment on that. And also Robert F. Kennedy explains how Big Pharma completely owns Congress. So we have a lot of commentaries, and I'll be taking your calls. We have a new segment to our program where you have an opportunity to call in on a voicemail and state your question. And here is the number. Please write it down. 862-800-6805. 862-800-6805. And then not everybody can hear the program live each day, either through a land-based station or over the telephone. But if you have a telephone, any phone, cell phone, traveling, and you want to listen, we have our own app, by the way, Perrin.fm. But you can write down this number and you can call and listen anywhere you're at. 641-793-7091. 641-793-7091. Let's begin with the latest on health and healing, as we do every day. And this is from the University of Denmark. This was published in the British Medical Journal, Open. And it's about acupuncture and how it can ease troublesome menstrual symptoms. And it can reduce hot flashes and sweating and mood swings and sleep disturbances and skin and hair problems. So a brief course of acupuncture may help ease troublesome menopausal symptoms. And this is this study. And among women dealing with moderate to severe symptoms, acupuncture was associated with reductions in everything I just mentioned. And the findings prompted the researchers to conclude that acupuncture, quote, offers a realistic treatment option for women who can't or don't want to use synthetic hormone replacement therapy, and I hope they don't. This reminds me of a debate that I had, and it was, I had like 2 hours. I was called at like 4 in the afternoon by the executive producer of a PBS national broadcast where the Surgeon General of the United States was appearing and was going to debate, and the person who was going to debate was not able to, so they said, would you like to come debate Surgeon General? I said, sure. And that was it. I ended up, and one of the most important questions asked was about synthetic hormone replacement therapy. And the Surgeon General, Jocelyn Alders, gave an answer, and it's in that moment you realize, boy, she is not familiar with the scientific literature, in my opinion. So instead of making her look bad, which I did not see any point to, I don't believe in profiting at someone else's loss, I simply complimented her in being so concerned about women's issues and being the first Surgeon General that was going to make women's health issues a high priority, which she did, and I commend her for that. But then I simply said, and what Dr. Elders was referring to is there's a difference, and she did not have time to elucidate, but I will pick up on it. There's two types of hormone replacement therapy, synthetic hormone replacement therapy, and you don't want that because there's a 13% adverse effect. Now, what are the adverse effects of 10 million women? That's 1,300,000 women. Heart attacks, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia. Those are six major conditions, and each one of those could kill you. But if you looked at squalvine and Dawn Quai and Fotai and passion flower and Vitex and other natural non-toxic therapies, those can help rebalance the hormones naturally. Wild yam extract. These are also very important part of what are called compounding pharmacy, meaning pharmacies like the I won't mention the name, but there's a pharmacy in Manhattan that will make specific for men and women, because men go through a hormone imbalance. It's called andropause, where they start to have an imbalance in the amount of testosterone that is in their body. And so they'll make these for you, and they're natural, non-toxic. So after the debate, and we were out in the hallway, she came over to me, and she gave me a hug, and I just happened to have the book for women only, a 1,600-page book on women's health issues, co-authored by one of, in my opinion, one of the finest, more humanistic and spiritual of the second-wave feminists, Barbara Seaman. We were very close friends. We wrote this book together. We debated others around the United States. We did a PBS special together, and it was very successful, showing a more natural approach to helping women prevent disease and reverse it if they have it. Then I went on to do a special one-year study, meeting every week with a group of 500-plus women who all were engaged in menopausal symptoms without relief, and over 60 different conditions, thinning of the gums, receding of the gum lines, losing your eyebrows, fatigue, malfunctioning of the thyroid gland, drying out of vaginal fluids, and hence chafing and pain and infections, all types of conditions. And within 1 year of sticking to the protocol, we were able to reverse 93% of all menopausal symptoms. And they stayed reversed because we kept a follow-up for the next 2 years. And this was published in a peer-reviewed journal. So here they're saying acupuncture, and we actually advocated acupuncture. And here's the irony. If you look at how many studies exist in the Library of Medicine on acupuncture, thousands. So there have been large studies and small studies, but the fact is it works. And it shouldn't be denigrated, as Wikipedia and Jimmy Wells have denigrated it, and some of the skeptics have denigrated it. So here's a question for Jimmy Wells and the people who call themselves experts on Wikipedia and edit columns. Do you have a board certified medical background in the field of medicine? Are you practicing in that? Do you have patients in that? Have you done clinical studies in it? Have you published in the peer reviewed literature? Have you presented your findings that have showed benefit to patients before large groups of independent scientists? Because there are tens of thousands of doctors who've done exactly that. So on the one side of the equation, we have Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Columbia, very prestigious schools with some outstanding research that has been published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, Nature, the Proceedings National Academy of Science, hundreds of thousands of studies like on vitamin C and vitamin E and vitamin D and also resveratrol. And then there's also validation of acupuncture and chiropractic. On the other side of this equation is Jimmy Wells, who's not board certified in anything and has published on nothing that is relevant to this, and the skeptics, who are equally non-familiar and not interested, but boy, they love to denigrate. So isn't it interesting that the number one site in the world to go to get your information on acupuncture or homeopathy or alternative medicine or vitamins, also is the single most biased source that I can find personally on the planet. So just imagine, wrap your mind around this for a moment. This is not existential. This is almost a virtual pass forward. On the one hand, you have hundreds of thousands of scientists and researchers and clinicians and journals and publications and peer review without monetary interest. No politics or ideology. On the other hand, you have this tiny little group of people within Wikipedia headed by this massive egotist, Jimmy Wells, saying we're right and the entire world is wrong. The whole history of Chinese traditional medicine, all of you are wrong. Is that not xenophobic? Is that not racist? All of you Indians, what do you know about Ayurvedic? That's just nonsense. What do you know about traditional Native American? That's all stupid. What do you know about the Bush doctors in Jamaica? That's idiot. And denigrating everything that they have absolutely no knowledge about, and no one finds that at all offensive? Wow. Boy, there's something the entire mainstream media missed, didn't they? And all of science and all of medicine. People who set themselves up as experts and all they do is denigrate, libel, and slander. Okay. And for today, they've gotten away with it. Tomorrow's another day. So trust the University of Denmark, trust the British Medical Journal, trust the authors that this acupuncture eased women's suffering. But what if you were a woman and went to Wikipedia because you had symptoms and you want to see whether or not it would help? And they said, no, acupuncture doesn't work. Okay. That's taking a lot of responsibility for other people's health. From Harvard School of Public Health, published in the American Heart Association Journal, Circulation Research. Eating nuts may reduce cardiovascular disease risk for people with diabetes. Now, they kind of go hand in hand. All told, pre-diabetic and diabetic, you're dealing more or less with 100 million American adults. And by the way, a lot of children. And when you have diabetes or metabolic syndrome, you also have a much higher rate of heart attack, stroke, cardiovascular conditions, cancers. So eating more nuts, particularly tree nuts, may reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, which saves lives. Now, type 2 diabetes is associated with an increased risk of higher cholesterol, heart disease, and stroke. And it's a big deal. So nuts are full of unsaturated fatty acids and phytochemicals and fibers, vitamins like vitamin E and folate. And it has minerals like calcium, potassium, magnesium. And they're good for you. In the latest case study, researchers used the 16,217 men and women who were in this study, and then they looked to see what was the outcome, and quote, our findings provide new evidence that supports recommendations of including nuts in healthy dietary patterns for the prevention of cardiovascular disease complications and premature deaths among individuals with diabetes, end quote. And that was headed by a Dr. Liu, a nutritional sciences researcher at Harvard's Chan School of Public Health. So, diabetes, you're helped with nuts. Which nuts are the best? If I had to rank, based upon what I know about the best nuts, your tree nuts, number one would be walnuts, then almonds, Brazil nuts, cashews, pistachios, pecans, macadamias, hazelnuts, and pine nuts. They all are good for your heart. Mind you, peanuts are not nuts, they're legumes. And also peanuts grow underground. So, cardiovascular disease is one serious condition. So if there's something as simple and expensive and easy to take and tasty as a nut, please do so. From University of Oxford, and where we're filming this week, bright sunshine exposure can decrease the risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. This was published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. Healthy middle-aged adults exposed to more bright sunlight in the 7 days before providing a blood sample had lower levels of markers indicating risk for insulin resistance, and that's important. So sunlight had a whole nother way of helping people. And this was headed by a Dr. Kenstanoudis, MD, PhD, university researcher on this. So, and published in that important journal. So more sunlight, that would be good. And want to be happy? According to University of Leeds, eat your fruits and vegetables. So we know that it's good for our physical body, cleansing, detoxifying, rejuvenating. Yes, it does all that. But it also puts us in a better frame of mind. Those who reported better mental well-being and satisfaction with life, and also this is over a 5-year period. So eating a plant-based diet is not only lowering inflammation, but that would make you feel better. Improving your mood so you don't have depression, that would make you feel that life has more meaning. So it's important. We don't eat enough fruits and vegetables in the United States. We need a lot more. Also, exercising in the morning or afternoon to shift your body clock forward. University of California published in the Journal of Physiology. So exercise can shift the human body clock with the direction and amount of this effect depending upon the time of day or night in which people exercise. That's according to this newest research. And these findings suggest exercise could also counter the effects of jet lag, shift work, and other disruptions to the body's internal clock, helping individuals adjust to shifted schedules. And this is all about the circadian, C-I-R-C-A-D-I-A-N, circadian body clock, is the 24-hour cycle that regulates many physiological processes, including sleeping and eating. And many factors affect the internal body clock, including light and time cues. And have you ever noticed you don't need an alarm clock? You go to bed, and if you go to bed at a regular time, you wake up almost to the second. No alarm needed. That's because your circadian clock. So the study found that exercising at 7 a.m. or between 1 and 4 p.m. advanced the body clock to an earlier time. And exercising between in the evening, 7 to 10 p.m., delayed the body clock to a later time. So it would be very important for people who have night shift. Also, finally, from Institute of Research in Brazil, a naturally occurring plant compound shows potential for treating Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and depression. Now, why is this important? Because scientists have learned a lot about most of the body's organs over the decades. And the growing body of knowledge on the liver and the heart and lungs and kidneys has enabled many people to enjoy better health outcomes in recent times. However, there is still a lot about the brain that we don't know. For example, just today, there was an article, and I read it on Natural Blaze, about neuroscientists making a jaw-dropping discovery of a wireless brain communication. That's correct. A team of researchers studying the brain have discovered a brand new and previously unidentified form of wireless neural communication that self-propagates across brain tissue and is capable of leaping from neurons in one part of the brain to another, even if the connection between them has been severed. Whoa. This was done at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, reported by Elias Merritt. And anyhow, I'm bringing the scientists on this on the air to discuss this in great depth because we need to know this kind of information. What that means, I'll just give you a suggested hypothesis. It means that those of us who believed that the epigenetics, the larger in overview environment that we live in, is more significant and has more energy that is used than what we've ever measured or believed existed. So a thought has power, and it goes beyond the neurons. It can be projected. because the neurons themselves can project thought and communicate without any physical contact. That is a paradigm shift in science. That's a big deal. So when we're talking about something that would help people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and depression, and they're looking at the brain and saying, gee, there's so much we don't know. Yeah, and there are things we do know. And this that we do know, for example, is that there are flavonoids. Flavonoid and or flavonoid. F-L-A-V-O-N-O-I-D. And there's one specific one called apigenin. A-P-I-G-E-N-I-N. And it can improve the formation of neurons and strengthen the connections between brain cells. And when they applied apigenin to human stem cells in a lab, neurons formed in less than a month, something that would not have happened without apigenin. And on top of that, these neurons form stronger and more sophisticated communications between one another. In effect, this is essential for brain health in general and learning and memory in particular. Their findings are published in Advances in Regenerative Biology. So we're really cranking here. And where are you going to get these flavones? Well, grapes. Yeah. All the berries. So those who have been slowing down the proliferation of cancer cells because of a diet, now we have a basis for it. Those of you who are finding that you can develop plasticity, maturation, and function in the nervous system, even though it's been damaged, like with multiple sclerosis, and Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. Yeah, apigenin could be a viable alternative as it binds to estrogen receptors, which are known to impact function and development of the nervous system. So this is all possible. I'm Gary Knoll, sharing the latest on health and healing. We're going to come back and go directly into your questions. Please stay with us.
For Gary, and perhaps I can just tell you now what it is. My name is Carol, and I'm from Brooklyn, and I've heard that the sulforaphane in cruciferous vegetables is potentially not healthy for people with hypothyroidism. However, I've also heard that by cooking, you can eliminate or lessen the effects of the sulforaphane. Is that true? And what do you recommend? Thank you.
It is partially true. If someone came to see me with, let's say, an underactive thyroid, I would be cautious in how many of the cruciferous vegetables I was advocating they consume. But if you have cancer, if you are susceptible to cancer because of your lifestyle up to this point, then it's not just sulforaphane. It is the indole-3 carbonyls in the isothiocyanates. These are specific chemicals in broccoli, but also in the brassica family. You would have kale, radishes in there, arugula, Brussels sprouts also are part of that, asparagus. And I don't recommend people consuming these raw. They should be steamed so you can break down their fibrous material and benefit from the anti-cancerous properties. And having them in a slightly cooked way liberates more. You have a much higher bioavailability. And I just would make them only one part of a very balanced diet, not a heavy part. And then you can monitor your T3, T4 levels, and have your endocrinologist or your internist tell you whether or not it's improving or challenging your thyroid. So And I wrote a really definitive article on thyroidism, and of all types, with Dr. Martin Feldman. It was published in the Townsend Letter for Doctors. I don't know how many articles. In fact, I actually sent a message to our archivist, Sharon, today. How many investigative reporting articles I've written, how many scientific articles I've written, I have no idea. I believe the last count I had was over 800. So it's one of those, and it's not difficult to find. It's on thyroid. I think it's two parts. It's a long article. But that's what I would recommend. Okay, we'll take another call.
Hey, Gary. My question to you is, who is the next Gary Null? Do you have a successor, an heir apparent? Is there somebody you've taken under your wing? What your show does is so valuable. Just for me, I became a vegan listening to your show, and I randomly found you channel surfing one day, and it changed my life completely. So that's my question. Thanks, Gary, for all the amazing work that you've done. Bye.
That is not easy to answer, but let me break it into some parts and see if you can connect these together, bring them together. Because each of us will hear something differently depending upon what we filter out that doesn't align with our own preconceived mindset. There's not going to be anyone following me. There will be many other people who will have their own unique and original perspective of what it means to share insights into the human condition, as there has been historically. Do you compare, for example, Fred Astaire? Who do you compare Fred Astaire with? The Nicholas Brothers? Who do you compare the Nicholas Brothers with? I just posted a Nicholas Brothers. In fact, when I just finished publishing Black Hollywood, the history of the African-American in Hollywood, which took 7 years of research, and I'm walking down Broadway, and suddenly I see Harold Nichols right on 86 and Broadway. So I went over to him, and I said, I have just received a copy of my book, an author's copy, and I'm going to give it to you as a gift. Please wait here for a minute. And he said, okay. So I ran up to my apartment. At that time, I lived in between Amsterdam and Broadway. I got my only copy, and I brought it down, and I assigned it to him, and I just let him know that there was a unedited, no rehearsal. It was one shot. They did this dance routine with Cab Calloway. I posted it. Go to my Facebook. You want to see something that'll pull your spirit up. They did a flawless routine. It's about 4 minutes. And the best dancing, it was so effortless. And I'm talking about leaps that were like 10 feet, landing, split, standing up, twirling around. They did it all. So who replaces them? No one. Who replaces Cary Grant? I was just watching on Turner Television the other night, the Philadelphia Story. Now, even when he's supposed to be the heavy, he was fun to watch. So what I'm saying is this. Instead of always thinking that we have to have someone replace Will Chamberlain, or replace, Brett Favre, replace Joe Namath. Nobody replaces these people. If they're that good and they've left some form of indelible mark, if they have left a part of legacy that has helped people, inspired us, entertained us, motivated us, then that's what it is. Let the next person do what they do in a unique, individual way. So that's why when we look back, we have a lot of people in our lives. And if, as long as you keep looking further back, you see, wow, how many other people provided us with an opportunity? How many people in the environmental movement are all standing on one person's shoulders? One person. Rachel Carson. And how many people today don't even appreciate that the player piano, blood plasma that could save their life, the street light, over 1,000 inventions were invented by African Americans. Who replaced them? Who took their place? Other people had their own ideas. Huh? We don't take anyone's place in life, and we shouldn't. We simply are given our own opportunity and time, and we do the best we can with it. We'll have our successes and failures, we'll learn our lessons, and hopefully we will be remembered with a smile. That's the best we can do, any of us. You don't have a a stepmother replace a biological mother. That mother dies. You know, there is no replacing it. There is only some other person who has an opportunity to share the energy they have, and we all have energy. So it's not that I'm better than anyone. I'm just uniquely me, and I hope you're uniquely you. And it also depends upon our life energy, whether we're dynamic or supportive, and what we do at the high or low end in our life energies. That's important as well. So when I came into the health field, and this is another piece of this puzzle, I had a best-selling book, the most successful health book in the history of America. And I was invited by a really nice man, Clinton Miller was his name, and he was the head of the National Health Federation. And he said, Gary, we'd like for you to come over now that you're, you know, on all Johnny Carson, all these television shows, and you got your own radio show. Come on over to the convention center near Coliseum, 59th and Broadway, because everyone in the health field is going to be there. And I said, why do you want me there? He said, well, you know, you could be the next Carlton Fredericks. Now, I'd never met Carlton Fredericks. I'd seen him on television. He was always smoking a cigarette on television. I thought that was rather unbecoming to be the leader. He was the leader of the whole health movement in America. He was witty. He was sarcastic, unfortunately. And so when I went over there that day, I'm a kid. I'm naive, I'm stupid. And I go in, and the whole room was filled with cigarette smoke. I mean, everybody was smoking. The biggest table was just booze, hard alcohol. And when the little food they had, it was the little little pork sausage with a toothpick in it. And Clinton walked around and introduced me to everyone, and like 20 people, all legends in the health field. And then I looked out from the room they were all in to the stage, and someone was out there lecturing, and they were all white-headed people. They were all old. And so I went to Clinton Miller. I said, why am I here again? He says, because you're going to be the new Carlton Fredericks. No, no, no. Carlton Fredericks unique. He deserves this crowd. They deserve him. His message resonates. Mine won't. I got to be who I am. Let him be who he is. Now, mind you, I'm in my 20s and they're all in their 70s. There was a 50-year gap where no one ever think they would leave the scene, and so there was no replacements. And I decided that day that I didn't want anything more to do with the health field because I didn't see anything healthy in that health field. I didn't hear any healthy messages. Eat a big protein diet. That was Carlton Fredericks' message. Everybody has hypoglycemia. No, everyone didn't have hypoglycemia. Some of the dumbest statements I've ever heard. And then later, Carlton Fredericks invited me to lunch, and I didn't know what this was about. And we're having lunch, and I'm having a salad, and he's having some white bread and some meat and coffee and smoking. At that time, you could smoke in restaurants. And he was there to tell me what I had to do in order to succeed in the health field, or I would be gone, you know, in a month, the public will pass you by. Okay, well, that didn't happen. So understand that in every field, we're always going to have the next person wanting to have their chance, and they should be given that chance. Men and women, whoever you are, you should be given every opportunity to see what you're made of. We will not all succeed the same. We will not all be the ideal that we hope in our own minds or others expect, but we'll be uniquely ourselves. And I think we've got to get out of this whole idea of grooming people to be the next anything. If you want to see the worst of what you're suggesting, the worst that could happen of getting someone to be a successor, look at corporate America. Look at the people within the banking community in Wall Street. Do you think that in any corporation, General Motors to GE Capital to Goldman Sachs, to any of the mercantile accounts, do you think any of them is a person coming off the street that has their own unique hold on reality? No. You're groomed so that the transfer will not be noticed by anyone. So your own unique qualities, your own insights are gelled into, homogenized into, blanderdized into, standardized into a program of making money and keeping everyone happy. Now look at your body politic. Look at Hillary Clinton. Look at Barack Obama. Look at Bill Clinton. Look at George Bush. Look at all of them. They all were groomed and selected for their grooming and years of grooming and then bringing a support system in because they wanted continuity. They wanted someone who would be predictable, someone who would give the same outcome as someone else, and they got it. So there's the worst that can happen when you, who's the next? You know, who's going to be the next conservative? Who's going to be the next liberal? Does it make a difference? Can you show me a viable difference in the policies of these people? No. Show me the person is unique, at least is different. Show me Rocky Anderson. Show me, show me a Jill Stein. Show me Ralph Nader. Now, there's an original for you. He was not just original, but he was not going to carry on policies that were not against the corporate interest. He was going to be against the corporate interest and for the public. And so he couldn't fit. So he didn't have a support system. So he wasn't groomed. He wasn't selected. And that's why he got 1%. You see, that's why we won't vote for independent candidates. We're terrified of not having the sequence of stability, even if the stability of continuity is kleptocracy, duopoly, oligarchy. We'd rather have that. Who do you think these fools are, these idiots, these psychopaths, these degenerates who go to Davos every year? Do you think that John Walters would stand in the same room as Bono? Bono's a corporatist. Yeah. And John Waters is one of probably the single most progressive rock musician out there. There are others, but he is at the top because he's willing to sacrifice and go on the record for things. And how many are willing to do that? Oh, you get in line. You get groomed. You get manicured, pedicured. You get a big colonoscopy because we want to make sure that you don't do anything unexpected, original, or act out. In fact, I believe we even have a Roger Waters piece. And tell me who he follows.
It's 4 days until February the 22nd, which is the day when Richard Branson claims that he's going to put on a Live Aid-ish concert in Colombia near the border to raise humanitarian aid for the people of Venezuela. This came from a Daily Mail article, and I've just seen a video clip of Branson with his bleeding heart worn openly upon his Virgin Airways t-shirt. The important thing about this is that even if you listen to their shtick, it has nothing to do with humanitarian aid at all. It has to do with Richard Branson, and I'm not surprised by this, having bought the US, saying we have decided to take over Venezuela for whatever our reasons may be, but it has nothing to do with the needs of the Venezuelan people. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has nothing to do with freedom, and it has nothing to do with aid. I have friends who are in Caracas right now. There is so far no civil war, no mayhem, no murder, no apparent dictatorship, no mass imprisonment of opposition, no suppression of the press. None of that is going on, even though that is the narrative that is being sold to the rest of us. So we just need to back off, particularly Richard Branson, okay? And Peter Gabriel, my friend, please call me. I want to talk to you about this because it's very easy to be led down a garden path that ends in regime change. Do we really want Venezuela to turn into another Iraq or Syria or Libya? I don't, and neither do the Venezuelan people. All right, I'll stop.
Okay, but keep in mind, Roger, there are millions of people in the United States who need the lie to be codified that Venezuela is a failed socialist system. It is not. It is not socialism that has failed the Venezuelan people. It is allowing a large, powerful, pro-American group of business people who want to be able to run the country and exploit its oil resources with other companies. And the CIA has been behind this. But Rogers has the courage of to stand up and talk out. Others, and he's fully conscious of what he's talking about, and he's educated. A lot of people who are popular and celebrities, they don't use their celebrity status. Some do, but most don't, for the better good. Now here's a doctor, a scientist, an emeritus professor, who is standing up and speaking out against the worst technology in the world today that's going to hit all of us. The 5G. Don't have anything in your life that's 5G. He said it's the stupidest idea in the history of the world, and he's one of America's foremost scientists. Listen to what he has to say at a hearing.
5G is the stupidest idea in the history of the world, says a Washington professor. Sean Adelton to Buy News Punch reports. Implementing 5G across the country is one of the most dangerous and stupidest ideas in the history of the world, a top biochemistry professor has warned. According to a recent report by Dr. Martin L. Paul, professor emeritus of biochemistry and basic medical sciences at Washington State University, 5G poses a massive health risk for EU, US, and international health. He states that, quote, putting in tens of millions of 5G antenna without a single biological test of safety has got to be about the stupidest idea anyone has had in the history of the world, end quote. I think most of us agree with his statement. Collective Evolution reports, their report goes through a lot of science which only adds to all of the science that's already available regarding the harmful effects of 5G technology. If you're looking for more information, I often point people towards the Environmental Health Trust because it's a great resource that gives you access to more science. This is not new information. For years, numerous studies have been published proving the health concerns regarding 5G technology, and hundreds of scientists have petitioned the United Nations about them. These initiatives started as a result of the work done by Dr. Martin Blank from Columbia University's Department of Psychology and Cellular Biophysics. According to him, with regards to wireless radiation in general, quote, we have created something that is harming us, and it is getting out of control. Before Edison's light bulb, there was very little electromagnetic radiation in our environment. The levels today are very many times higher than natural background levels and are growing rapidly because of all the new devices that emit this radiation. Putting it bluntly, they are damaging the living cells in our bodies and killing many of us prematurely, end quote. Again, it's unbelievable that these technologies are being rolled out without any safety testing done. How is this even allowed to happen? The thing is, if there was safety testing done, there would likely be no changes made anyway, and these corporations would be allowed to roll out and utilize these technologies. Seeing how this article is about the work of Dr. Paul, below is the lecture that goes into detail about his research and why we should be concerned with 5G technology. It's embedded in the video you'll have in the article. During the Health in Buildings Roundtable, it was sponsored by NIH and co-organized by the US CDC and several other organizations. Well, it's the CDC knows about this. The CDC should really make their statement really heard to the president, to the Congress, to the Senate, and to the United Nations. Now, Dr. Paul from Washington State University, WSU, concluded that the 5G rollout is absolutely insane. In this short presentation, Dr. Paul confirms that the current 2G, 3G, 4G radiation the population exposed to has been scientifically linked to lower fertility, insomnia, fatigue, depression, anxiety, major changes in the brain structure in animals, therefore humans as well, I would say, cellular DNA damage, oxidative stress, hormonal disruption, cancer, and much more. So you could imagine what 5G will do. Now, Dr. Paul briefly explained the mechanisms of how the electrosmog emitted by our cell phones, Wi-Fi routers, cell phone antennas, and other wireless technologies affect human cells. They've written about this topic in depth, and below are some recent articles we've published that go into more detail if you're looking for more information.
I've just been informed by our producers in New York that they came up with the original speech that Professor Martin L. Paul, P-A-L-L, Professor Emeritus of Biochemistry and Basic Medical Sciences, one of the world's leading experts on the subject, had to say. And mind you, he said this to the National Institutes of Health, and he said, quote, 5G rollout is absolutely insane. Now, before we go to him, and that'll conclude our program, remember that they're putting up as many as 20,000 satellites. These satellites are covering much of the hemisphere, certainly the northern hemisphere, Canada, the United States. They're going to be having the satellites beamed down to towers, and these are tall towers. Those towers are then going to be radiating out these pulses, and these pulses can create tumors, they can create brain abnormalities, chromosome damage, and there's no place to go that you're not going to be hit. Think what it's going to do to the signaling of bees and birds and porpoises. Their navigational system is going to be disrupted. Think what it could do for our brains. So this is a very serious issue, and the mainstream media hasn't covered it at all. So we are covering the dangers of 5G and all these cell phones and getting it more and more powerful. And their ads, if you watch the ads, it's all about, you know, how fast it is and how cool it is. No. You know, it's just like smoking. Smoking isn't cool. Having lung cancer isn't cool. And I believe that within about maybe 2 years, we'll be having ads about how many people are injured, environmentally affected, environmental sensitivity diseases because of 5G power in your computers, your cell phones, your laptops. Let's now go to here, Professor Emeritus of Biochemistry and Basic Medical Sciences, Martin L. Paul.
Okay, so we've got a lot of work to do. Let me just say, I submitted on the site not only my slides, but also a 90-page document that has documentation on everything that I'm going to talk about. So I won't give you any documentation whatsoever here. We don't have time for it. I'm sorry. The current U.S. and international safety guidelines, my pointer, are based only on thermal effects, but there are many non-thermal effects that occur at levels orders of magnitude lower than those allowed by these guidelines. So the guidelines are almost totally irrelevant to the actual health effects. And so what I'm going to do here is talk about initially eight things that are extensively documented and based on large numbers of review articles that have been written, okay? And the first one I'll talk about is lowered fertility. There are a whole bunch of mechanisms that are involved in producing lower fertility. And as I'll say later, we're in terrible trouble on this. We're already seeing huge effects in human populations. There are also neurological and neuropsychiatric effects based on 25 reviews. And if you look at these things, if you have time to read them, you'll see that they include all the things that almost everybody is complaining about nowadays, and we know that those are caused by EMF exposures based on many, many different reviews. We're already in great trouble on these. There are also cellular DNA damage of three different types based on 21 reviews, and these are very important for causing both cancer and for causing germline mutations. I think we're probably in great trouble on those as well. We have high levels following exposures of, I guess I'll move over here, of apoptosis, programmed cell death, based on 13 reviews. That's important for these reasons. And you get oxidative stress and free radical damage based on 19 reviews. So these are all extensively documented. There are still other things going on here. Oops. What's going on? Okay. You get endocrine effects and a large number of different endocrine effects. As far as I can tell, every single hormone system in the body is impacted. And there are 12 reviews regarding hormonal effects. You get excessive intracellular calcium. And this, as you'll find out later, is the cause of almost everything that I'll talk about. So this is the underlying cause behind everything else. There's cancer. There are 35 reviews on cancer causation by EMFs. And it includes everything that goes on in the whole process of carcinogenesis. Now, pulsed EMFs, EMFs that pulse up and down, are in most cases much more biologically active than our non-pulsed or what are called continuous wave EMFs, and that's been shown in 13 different reviews. Because all wireless communication devices communicate via pulsations, they are potentially and I believe actually much more dangerous. So that's obviously a major issue. So there are several other effects for which there is strong evidence, but not the kind of overwhelming evidence that we talked about before. There are cardiac effects that affect the electrical control of the heart. They are life-threatening. There's also evidence for very early onset Alzheimer's and other dementias. And those are obviously very consequential. We also get ADHD and autism, apparently caused by late prenatal and early postnatal EMF exposures. It's my opinion that these are caused by the effects of intracellular calcium on the development of the synapses during the early development of the brain. So how does all this work? And this is my own work. EMFs act primarily by activation of what are called voltage-gated calcium channels, and I abbreviate those VGCCs. And so what are these? These are channels that are in the plasma membrane that surrounds all of our cells, and when they're activated, they open up and you get excessive calcium flowing into the cell. And it's the excess calcium in the cell that's responsible for most, if not all, of the biological effects. So there are several pathways by which this excessive calcium here work. And one of them is you get high levels of nitric oxide and superoxide, which react to form peroxynitrite, which is a potent oxidant, breaks down to form reactive free radicals, produce oxidative stress, and also produce inflammation via NF-kappa-B activation. So those are all involved in producing pathophysiological effects. You also get effects through excessive calcium signaling over here. Calcium signaling is very important in the cells of our bodies, and when you get too much of it, you get pathophysiological effects. There's another way in which this calcium works. When you get excessive nitric oxide, it can bind to cytochromes, and that produces some responses. Nitric oxide also works via a nitric oxide signaling pathway. That produces therapeutic effects. There are genuine therapeutic effects of these EMFs, and that's the primary mechanism by which they work. So so it's important to... About a minute? Okay. There are four reasons why EMFs are much more active in children than in adults. Children have much higher surface-to-volume ratios. Children have high densities of stem cells, which are very sensitive to the EMFs. The developing brains of the children seem to be especially sensitive to the EMFs. And the tissues in the children have higher water content, and that also is important in increasing sensitivity. For these reasons, things like Wi-Fi and cell phone tower radiation in schools should be a major concern. Okay. Several of these effects, I'll go through these very quickly, show cumulative and eventually irreversible effects. And so what that means is basically the same exposures produce more and more severe effects, and they become irreversible with time. And so when you have that kind of situation, obviously you're in great trouble. I think we're already very far along in terms of the reproductive effects and the neurological to neuropsychiatric effects, and probably also the germline mutational effects. And these each produce existential threats to our survival. Now, let's talk about 5G, and this is my last slide. 5G will entail the use of much higher frequencies and pulsations than our current microwave devices. The much higher pulsations allow 5G to carry much more information. But basically, because of these high frequencies and high pulsations, the biological effects, I predict, will be much, much greater because of the activation of the VGCCs. The other problem with 5G is they're planning to put out tens of millions of these antennae all over the place, so that it'll be almost impossible to avoid exposures. And so these are going to be all over. And the reason for that, I think maybe somebody else can discuss, because I don't seem to have any time to do that. So let me just say the current plan, which has already been approved by the U.S. Congress and the FCC, is to put out tens of millions of these 5G antennae, irradiating every single person and every other organism in the whole country without even a single biological safety test of genuine 5G radiation. This is, in my judgment, absolutely insane. Thank you very much.
That was from Collective Consciousness. Have a nice day, everybody.